Good evening again. My name is Alan Knapp. I'm one of the elders at University Reformed Church. And we, several of us are doing short sermons this evening, and you might ask, well, why are the elders doing this? There's a couple big areas that we'd like to be able to say. One is sort of an explanation. We're very happy that we can say a breadth of characteristics that elders and our senior pastor are to be performing. So that will be part of what we discuss. We want to explain what we're looking for in a new senior pastor during this transition time. And we'd also like to have a little opportunity to share a bit of our experience as elders. Another area we'd like to be able to say things about is comfort. It was great to see all these kids up here. It's an example of the continuing ministries that are going on. Even though we're currently without a senior pastor, we have many staff and elders and deacons and growth group leaders who are helping to continue the ministries. So the ministries are going on and going well. We'd also like to be able to give some ideas for continuing prayer as we move ahead in this transition time. So that's why we're doing it. What are we going to speak about? Well, you can look in your bulletin and see that Dan and Peter and I are speaking this evening on plurality of elders and shepherding and good character in our leaders. Next week, Tim McCormick and Mark Whalen will talk about the characteristics of elders in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And then Scott Lawton will close with a couple of examples of good transitions from Joshua and the book of Acts. What we're going to look at tonight, as I preach, is in the book of Exodus. It's Exodus 18, starting in verse 13. It's on page 60 in the Pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. A little bit of background as we look at this passage. This is a point where the people have gotten out of Egypt. They've reached the mountain of God, and Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, has come to visit. Jethro brings Moses' wife and two boys, and they have a time of greeting in the previous verses to this passage. Moses had a chance to say all the things that went on in the Egypt, and then they rejoiced together, and then all the elders and all the priests and everybody get together and have a great dinner. So eating was involved. That was good. Rejoicing was involved. And as we start now in Exodus 18, verse 13, that's why it says the next day, okay? So they had a good dinner the night before. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you were doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. So one commentator says that leadership of God's people by elders is the fundamental structure of biblical government from beginning to end. We know from earlier in Exodus 3, when Moses was instructed by God what he was to do at the burning bush, Moses went first to the elders of Israel and then took the elders with him to go talk to Pharaoh. Elders are mentioned lots of times in the Old Testament in a leadership role, and Paul refers to elders in a couple of the epistles, gives qualifications, and he meets with elders in the book of Acts. And we know also at the very end, in the book of Revelation, the elders are often worshiping around the throne. So elders have been an important part in the leading of God's people. In this passage, as we just looked at it, we can make a loose comparison between Moses as sort of the senior pastor and appointing another of elders under him and seeing that as a senior pastor and a board of elders. It's not exactly the same, but there's a similarity. So we're going to look at this passage and see five factors for our senior pastor in particular. And these apply to the elders also, but mostly to the senior pastor. And the five factors are: speak to God, speak for God, select able men to serve, shepherd the people, and esteem others. They're all S's, except maybe esteem, but that has an S in it, so it's okay. You may recall our former pastor, Kevin DeYoung. He was preaching through the book of Exodus, and he suggested these first two factors when he was talking about the shining face of Moses in Exodus 34. So speak to God in verse 19. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. So the senior pastor and all the elders need to be men of prayer, need to pray for the people, bring supplications, lift up the situations that they know about in the congregation. So speaking to God is number one. Number two, speaking for God in verse 20, here's another vital role for the senior pastor. Warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. So not just preaching at a congregation, but preaching the word of God to the congregation. So it's explaining all of the laws, all of the commandments, all of the ways that we should walk, and covering that from the Old and New Testaments. And one nice thing that we've enjoyed here is our preachers have regularly tied lots of relevant passages into the current passage, so we're covering the whole of Scripture in that way. Number three, select able men to serve. We can see this in verses 21 and 22. Next week, Tim and Mark will say more about these criteria for elders, but in this passage, we're given four things. The four things are: you want able men, you want men who fear God, trustworthy, and hate a bribe. So for able men, you want capable folks. They need to have some proven abilities that they can do the work that they're called to do. You want to have men who fear God, and this is true not just for elders, but it's true for all of the people in our congregation. We want folks who fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We want folks who love the Lord, love the word, love brothers and sisters. And then trustworthy and hate a bribe. These two are very important for what these chiefs and judges were being called to in the Exodus passage, because they were going to be the ones who were judging the smaller cases. And we can see that there's probably some teaching going on there. They're handling the smaller cases, and they probably have to explain what their reasoning was for why they made a decision. So they're relaying to the folks all of the statutes and the laws that they heard Moses speaking about and doing that activity. Note that there's a hierarchy. There's thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. It turns out we don't have as big a congregation as the Israelites did, so we don't have the thousands and the hundreds, but we do have elder districts. Each of the elder districts is about 50 or 60 members, and then within the districts we have growth group leaders who act as kind of under-shepherds to the elders. And so one of the nice things there is that the burden is shared, as Jethro had suggested to Moses. Item number four is shepherd the people. Verse 23 says, if you do this, God will direct you, you'll be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their place in peace. So one goal in equipping leaders is to bring peace and unity to the people. It seems likely, as I mentioned, that judging function helped to pastor and build formative discipline in all the folks as they understood why God was had his commands and where they were going from there. Number five, the last item, is esteem others. I was going to call that listen to others because that made sense with what Moses was doing, but esteem has the S at the beginning, so it's good. Verse 24 says that Moses listened and acted on the advice, and we know Proverbs 11:14 is a well-known wisdom verse: where there's no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there's safety. So that idea of listening to others is a key thing that we want our senior pastor and our elders to be able to do. A subpoint there is that what you really want is for the senior pastor and the elders to be growing in the knowledge of God so they can recognize wise guidance when they hear it and be able to discern between wise guidance and foolish guidance. So I'm going to close with a brief testimony about my time as an elder. I've served several terms under both Tom Stark and Kevin DeYoung here at URC. Each time there's been hard issues. Excommunications are always hard, but finances, building issues, personnel decisions, those can take a lot of time and be difficult. But there's also several very pleasing elder activities. I really like doing the new members classes, and then meeting with the new members to interview them is a fun activity. And last Maundy Thursday, there was a service here where we did communion by giving individual juice and bread to the members, and that was very uplifting. I was sort of surprised to find how fun that was. Every time that I've been with a term of elder, and they change every year, it's been a blessing to serve with men who love the Lord, love the Word, love prayer. And almost all the men I've served with have been strong men of God. A prayer request I would have of you is to continue to pray for your leaders, particularly pray for elders. There, about 30 years ago, there was a URC elder who divorced his wife and left behind him a string of broken relationships and broken trust. And so all of the characteristics we're going to be talking about for elders are really important for all Christians, but elders are held to a higher standard. And so it's very important to be praying for them to have a godly walk, partly because when an elder or pastor falls, there's so many repercussions. So thank you for your continuing prayers. Please be praying for a senior pastor and for elders who will be able to speak to God, speak for God, select men to serve, shepherd our congregation, and esteem others. And join me as I pray to close. Lord, you know the man you have for URC as a senior pastor. We ask for wisdom for the pastor search committee as they move through their process. Thank you for your word, which gives wonderful, wise guidance to the committee and to all the rest of us. We praise your name. Amen.